what should you do right now? Some of you may be thinking, well, hey, I'll just shut my eyes, take a little nap. I don't think anybody will notice. It'll be fine. Someone else may be thinking, I don't know, I've heard this guy preach before. Maybe I'll just tune out. I mean, all I'm going to do is, you know, maybe miss a lame dad joke or, you know, some lame side reference to some 80s hair band. I mean, I'm not going to miss much. Or maybe I can put an earbud in and go ahead and listen to the pregame, pre-race for the Grand Prix, or maybe even listen to a little Flock of Seagulls right now. Man, this sounds great. I think I'll just take a time out. Did you hear about the new humanoid robot that short-circuited on his left side? He's all right now. That's just fun. Look, there are a handful of things you could be doing right now during the sermon, but the question is really a little broader. What should you be doing right now is a bigger question. It's more, what could you be doing in your life right now that would have an impact on your life, and not just your life, on the lives of other people? We begin a new series, a little mini series today called Right Now. And what we're going to do is focus on what you can be doing right now in your life that will impact your life and actually will impact the world around you. Today's message is called Be Strong Now. And we're going to be looking in Paul's letter to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 15, beginning verse 1. And this is what Paul writes. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength. So here's the big picture of just those words. Right now, in this moment, in the days ahead, in the weeks ahead, in the months ahead, right now, what you can do around your life is to be helping other people. Right now, you could be strengthening other people. Right now, other people could be something that you focus on and helping them and building them up. And helping others will actually be good for you. Now let's dig a little deeper. Listen again to Paul's words. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength. So who's strong? Who's weak? Well, to get a better grip on this, we would have to look back at chapter 14 and all of 15. In 14 and 15, what Paul is doing is he's trying to write directly and specifically to Christians to try to help Christians learn how to live with people who don't always agree with them, who don't always have the same opinions that they have. He's writing to try to move us toward understanding how we deal with other people, first and most with other Christians, but even beyond there. The picture that he's painting with the strong here is not that they're some kind of super Christians, not that they're superhero Christians that never do anything wrong, that never fail, that never mess up, but rather they are believers that have some unique capability or competence. There's some spiritual abilities in their lives that are different, and those spiritual abilities actually give them greater freedom not to be important, but to help, to serve, to meet the needs of others, maybe most specifically those who are weak. For instance, there are people in this church that are stronger than me in practical ways and also in spiritual things, and that's a good thing. That doesn't mean that they're better Christians than I am. It just means they're stronger in certain areas, and it's easy for me to defer to them. There are people in our church that are stronger in evangelism. They're stronger in theology. They're stronger in doctrine. They're stronger in prayer. They're stronger in so many other things. And I am so thankful that we can and I can defer to their strengths to help me when I am weak, and to help our church in areas of weakness as well. Sometimes we could say that age, even, is something that makes us stronger. Not always, but sometimes. I think of our graduates today. When I graduated from high school, you know, my parents were stronger than me. Doesn't mean that I was some kind of weakling who couldn't tie my shoes. It just meant that there were some aspects of their life, financially, time management, whatever it else is, they could support me in ways that I couldn't support myself. Now, someone would say, but what if your parents just kicked you out, sent you out on your own, said, hey, man, you just got to go do it, you know? Well, that's fine. That doesn't mean I couldn't have gone and done some things. But still, in that moment, they would have been stronger than me in so many different areas. Even our graduates, they're showing strength in different ways. As Deanne mentioned earlier, we have our graduates that are helping others. They even have some experience that they help some people their own age, or they help people even beyond their age. Some of them are helping those who are younger in the life of the church. Some of them have helped their peers on the bowling team or the theater group or the cheerleading squad that needed a little more help. So there's strength. There's a way to help others that doesn't make you a superhuman. It just means you're a little stronger in some areas and you can help those who are weak. The emphasis Paul is putting in this passage is on what we might call scruples among Christianity. And what that means is Christians that don't always agree on secondary things. Not the primary thing of the gospel, but secondary things. There's a story told about a church, a couple of churches that merged together. They were smaller congregations, struggling a little bit. And they said, why don't we merge into one church? That way we can do more together. We can have a bigger impact on the community. Well, the merger didn't last too long because they could not agree on how they were going to recite the Lord's Prayer in the service. Yeah, real thing. One group wanted to say, forgive us our trespasses, and the other group wanted to say, forgive us our debts. Story is, one of the local newspapers wrote this in an article, one church went back to its trespasses while the other returned to its debts. Paul's primary focus was on stronger believers helping weaker believers with secondary issues. Not the gospel, not the truth of the gospel, but secondary issues. That's the priority. But the principle of what Paul is laying out can spill into every single aspect of the Christian life. Christians should always be helping others. We should be looking for ways to use our competence, our capability, our abilities to strengthen others. And how should we be doing that? Well, Paul says we should do it by bearing up with others. Does that mean we're supposed to give other people a bear hug? That's fine, but no, that's not really what it means. It means that there's supposed to be this sense that we're carrying the load, carrying some weight of others. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul said this, Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens. Every single one of us have moments and will have moments when we will need someone else to be stronger than we are. Let me just say that again. Every single one of us have moments or will have moments where we will need someone who is stronger than us help us. Now, if we're honest, there's a little part of us that pushes back on that. So let me describe this a little bit. You may be a man's man. I mean, there ain't nothing you can't build, fix, drive, fly, anything else in the world. You are man's man. Or you may be a strong-willed woman. You know how to bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and let no one ever forget that you can do anything that a man can do, right? So there's man's man and there's strong-willed women, and every single one of you will be helpless one day. You'll either be in a hospital bed or on a deathbed, and you won't be strong anymore. You will need someone to help you. So it is a good and great and grand and glorious thing right now, if you are a believer, learn to be vulnerable. Learn to need help, because if you don't, when the moment comes, you will not know what to do. I'm going to speak in just a moment about my dad. My dad was one of the strongest men I ever knew. But in the last weeks, really the last year of his life, he found that he was a little more helpless. And for me, it was a strength to watch him humble himself and even ask his goofy son for help. There is something about the reality that we need stronger people in our lives because sometimes we will be weak. Paul says we need to learn to bear for one another, to bear up, to help, to look out for one another. We all have those moments. And I think the hard part for us is we are tempted to say, well, okay, here's what I'm supposed to be doing in life. I'm supposed to be looking out for myself. You know, every graduating class of high school and college graduates, there is this pressure. You got to go do it. And as I've often said, I don't think it's accidental that Jesus' ministry did not begin until 30. I think it's okay if we don't have everything figured out at 18 or 23 or 28. And it doesn't matter that someone else's responsibility was that at 17 years old, they had tackled the world. That's not true for everybody. There is a picture of our need. There is a picture of us needing to be helpful to one another. And so it's important for us to remember that our primary goal is not just to save our time and save our money and save our resources and look out for ourselves. Paul says there needs to be an attitude that we look out for others. We look for ways to help the burdens of others. We look for ways to be strong for folks who are just weak or who are having weak moments. But you may be like me and you may be thinking, I got nothing for that. I mean, gosh, Dad, you don't know my life right now. You don't know how much is on my plate. I don't have anything left to help and serve. I can't be looking out for other people's burdens. Listen, I can promise you, there is not a moment of my life, I'll just say over the last 30 years really, but especially the last 10 years, there is not a moment of my life where my plate has not been full. I mean, in every single direction, whether it's responsibilities for the immediate six people in my family or my extended family, or even beyond to my in-laws or all of my friends over the last 53 years, church family. I mean, on and on and on. There are so many moments of responsibility in my life. My plate is always full. Almost every day in my mind or sometimes out of my mouth, I will say something like, God, I got nothing left. There's nothing in my tank to help in this moment. And when those moments come, God is very kind. The Holy Spirit is very gracious to me because almost immediately the words of Peter come to mind where Peter wrote, he bore our sins in his own body. When my plate feels full, when I am overwhelmed, I am reminded that Jesus Christ has carried my greatest burden. He has bore my greatest burden, the burden of my sin. And one day, when I am at my absolute weakest, Jesus will carry me home forever. We all have the ability to be strong for someone. We all have the ability to step in different moments and be strong, even when we feel weak, even when we feel overwhelmed. And when we do, something incredible happens. And if our high school and college graduates could get their minds on this, there is something incredible that happens when we learn to bear the burdens of others, when we learn to step in and help. It does something great in our lives. There's some math that is sometimes unexplainable. What happens? Well, Christine Gordon and Hope Blanton are both wives and moms. They both have three kids. They both have master's degrees. They teach and counsel. If you're a wife and mom, there's a lot of super helpful things on their website, athisfeetstudies.com, athisfeetstudies.com. And this is what they said about what it means to bear burdens, what it means to be strong for those who are weak. They said it's almost like a backpack. Now you have a backpack, and in your backpack are all the struggles of your life. Just take a second, instead of just sitting here and listening to a sermon or going to a church service. Just go ahead and do some itemization. What's in your backpack right now? What are you struggling with the most this morning? What have you been struggling with the most this week? What are you concerned about is going to be your biggest struggle tomorrow? What are your struggles? Just yours. What are your struggles? Imagine all those in a backpack. And imagine how weighed down you feel. And this is what Christine in Hope says. But as you hand a boulder to your friend, in other words, you take a boulder out of your backpack, you hand it to a friend. But as you hand a boulder to your friend, its size diminishes. Your large boulder is a small stone in her hand and a pebble in his pocket. Your troubles won't weigh another person down in the same way, but sharing your burdens will lighten your load. How does that work? What does that look like in real life? Well, I, in my mind, thought, I know I've shared that quote from Christine in Hope before, but I can't remember when. So I went out there in the cloud and my sermons and did a little searching, and I found when I said it. I shared that same quote from this stage 3 years ago today. It was the first Sunday of May 3 years ago, the same Sunday when I shared this. And it was a week before my dad died. And that very specifically was having a big impact on my life. Because you were praying for me. And it was having an impact on my life. Because I had some huge boulders in my life. So as you prayed for me, as you encouraged me, it began to lighten my load. Now, it wasn't some big supernatural thing where you were suddenly transported into the hospital room in Augusta and were bearing all the weight of my life. Nor was I transported to some resort in Maine where I was sitting around eating, you know, bacon-wrapped lobster tails, you know? I mean, there wasn't some super mystical thing that happened, but something was happening. Your pebble prayers were having an impact on my boulder burden. See, that's the picture here. It's not that there's superhuman, strong Christians. There's just Christians that sometimes are tremendously strong in the faith, and sometimes they're just stronger in that moment than we are. Are you a Christian? If so, do you know someone who's struggling right now? Do you know someone who is really feeling a weakness in life? You know that there's some spiritual weakness in your life. Is there someone you know that goes to a different church? Maybe a different denomination? Maybe somebody that doesn't go to church? Is there someone you know that has different opinions than you have? Someone that votes in a different way than you vote? How should we interact and deal with folks like that? Listen again to what Paul says. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength. If you're a Christian, strong or weak, however you want to define your spiritual life, you have the ability to be strong. You have the ability to bear the weaknesses of others. You have the ability to lighten the load for folks who are angry, or arrogant, or apathetic, or worried, or afraid, or anxious. You have the ability to lighten the load for people who are stressed out, worn out, or wigged out. See, we have the ability any given moment to be a help. Our temptation often, though, is when we are with somebody weaker, our temptation is to be arrogant and to be prideful, to think, well, I'm a better Christian than they are. that we're in the presence of someone who's struggling, sometimes even in their own sin. Sometimes our temptation is to be a little holier than thou with them, to be angry with them, to neglect them, to avoid them, to say, well, you know what, this is such a mess, I'm just going to leave them in it. It's easier for me to have nothing to do with them. Now, be clear, we're not saying to just throw sin away and just act like we're supposed to ignore sin. What we're saying is, in the moments that we see people weak, don't kick them in the stomach. In those moments, find a way to come alongside. Paul wrote 2 chapters in Romans about how to interact specifically with believers, but really with anyone, in such a way that they are actually able to see the grace and mercy and power and authority of God. And as we do that, an amazing thing happens. As we look for ways to lighten the load of others, we actually have this increase of satisfaction, this increase of joy in our own lives. What should you do right now? You should look for ways to help. In fact, Paul says you ought to look for ways to help. It's been put this way, that this is not an opportunity for Christians. This is an obligation for Christians. It's not an option to be strong for others in different ways and at different times. It is our obligation as believers. Why? Listen to what Paul writes next. And not just please ourselves. Why should we not just please ourselves? Why should we not just look out for number one? Let's just take a couple of moments in the life of Jesus. Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. And the story basically breaks down like this. There was a man who was beaten up, left for dead on the side of the road, incredibly weak, incredibly in need of someone being strong for him. And a couple of different church-going folks walked by and they saw the man, but they just kept walking. And then a non-church going folk, an outsider really, he walked by and he stopped. He saw the weakness and he went and gave strength and cared for the man. And someone said the way Jesus tells this story, it's as if it's begging some questions. And the question, it seems, is that when you look at the two church going folks, they walked by and said, man, if I stop, what's going to happen to me? And then the outsider walked by, and it's as if he said, what's going to happen to him if I keep walking? Two completely different pictures. On another day, Simon Peter was talking to Jesus, and he said, hey, Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive someone who's wronged me? I mean, over and over again, they just keep wronging me. How many times do I have to forgive them? Will seven work? I mean, seven's a good Bible number. It's the perfect number. Can we go with seven and then I can ditch them? Will that work? And Jesus said, try 70 times seven. Now, mathematically, we go, oh, Jesus just said, get your church calculator out. When you get to 490, you can ditch them. That's not it. What Jesus was saying to Peter was this. Peter, you have been forgiven so much. You've been forgiven so much. You are not destined for hell. You've been transferred into the kingdom of light. Since you have been forgiven so much, Peter, just keep forgiving. Just keep doing. Don't stop. Just keep forgiving in hopes that person will stop wronging you and that they will turn to God and be set free. When Jesus was praying in the garden just before he was arrested and crucified for my sin, for your sin, for the sin of the world, when you look at Jesus' prayers Jesus didn't pray like this, Father, I know what's happening, but I think I'm just going to please myself right now. I think I just need some me time, God. No, Jesus bore our sins in his own body. Someone said that reality means that we can pray differently. Like this. They said we can pray this way. I trust you, Jesus, that all my sins, all the public ones and all the private ones, all of them, have been suffered for, lifted, and therefore removed from me. I bear them no more. I do not carry their guilt into the future with me. I do not carry that guilt into the future with me. Why? Because I bear them no more. Can you say that? I mean, can you pray that? Not just like you can pray it, but I mean, is it real? Is it genuine? Is it authentic? Have you truly trusted in Jesus in that way? That with joy, you can sit in traffic, and you can sit in the hospital, and you can sit in the funeral home. You can sit wherever life gets difficult and hard, and in your mind and in your heart, you can say, he bore my sin in his own body. I bear my sin no more. Can you pray that? What should you do right now? Well, what's something you can do right now in your life that would have a huge impact on your life and on the impact and an impact on the lives of others? Here's what you can do. You can be strong. You can be strong for those who are weak. You can be strong for those who need help. You cannot just try to please yourselves. You cannot just try to look out for number one. But you can actually look for ways to bear the burdens of others. You can look for ways to lighten the loads of others. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of ways to do that. It might be a card in the mail. It might be a text. It might be an email. It might be a phone call. It might be a breakfast, a lunch. It might be coffee. It might just be prayer. There are so many ways that every single one of us can be strong for the weak. And why would we do that? Why would we try to lighten the burdens? Why would we enjoy the obligation of bearing the burdens of others? So that we might be able to help other people not take their guilt into the future. That we might be a part of God's work in the good and grand and glorious gospel. To come alongside people so that many of us will one day be able to say together, I bear them no more. Let's be strong. For the glory of God, for the good of our own souls, and for the good of others. Let's be strong now.